Hey guys, welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. On today's episode, I have the amazing Nikki Bergen, who is going to be joining me, and she is going to be talking all about her bump methods. We're going to be talking about pre and postnatal healthcare, but we're also going to be talking about just how to really understand how to transform your body from the inside out. She's a firm believer in mindset, so get ready to learn a lot more about that. Now, for those of you who don't know, Nikki is an inspirational trainer and creative educator with a passion for encouraging women to lead happier, healthier lives. Nikki Bergen is one of Canada's most sought-after health and fitness experts. A former professional dancer, Nikki has dedicated her life to creating fitness programs that create choreography from science, each one specifically designed to enable women to ditch the guilt and bring balance to their bodies. Nikki's passion for helping women has driven her to become a renowned Thought Pilates instructor, a sought-after instructor trainer, an expert in pre- and postnatal fitness, and a compassionate health coach. She's also a trained breast cancer rehab specialist, having graduated from the Pink Ribbon program in 2011. A holistic approach to health and relentless desire to inspire women to realize their dreams led Nikki to create three groundbreaking exercise programs designed specifically for women: the Bell Method, the Bump Method, and the Pink Method. In 2015, Nikki founded Elevate Retreats, which offers transformational wellness getaways that combine elements of fitness, nutrition, and inspiration for women looking to reconnect with themselves and their fellow sisters. Today, Nikki and her team of skilled trainers work with a wide range of clients, from elite athletes and corporate executives to women coping with cancer, diastasis recti, sciatica, and pain related to pregnancy. Nikki loves eyeliner, green smoothies, grew up on Madonna's Immaculate Collection in the Rolling Stones, and she cannot wait for her next once-in-a-lifetime adventure. So welcome, Nikki, to Fit Chicks Chat.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women, to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hey everyone, hi Nikki.
Hi Amanda.
So guys, welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn, and on today's podcast, I do not have Laura Jackson joining me. Instead, I have the amazing and lovely Nikki Bergen. How are you doing, Nikki?
I'm awesome. Good to see you.
You too. Always. Always a pleasure. So on today's podcast, guys, we are talking with Nikki because Nikki is the creator of some really cool programs. So you created the Bell Method, which is how I first got introduced to you. But then now you've also created the Bump Method. And what is the third program? Sorry. It's the Bell Method, the Bump Method.
And yeah. We also do a little bit of work for women who have gone through breast cancer surgery. So we've got something called the Pink Method. It's a small part, kind of more like a nonprofit part of what we do.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. And so what we're going to be talking to Nikki about today is really, you know, you're a new mom. And I think this topic is so important to cover, not only for people that are new moms or just maybe even considering having a baby or anything, but I mean, this kind of applies, like a lot of this information that we're going to be sharing today is going to apply to women just in general. It's about health, wellness, fitness. But what I want to talk to you about first, though, because I think that this is something, a kind of a misconception that people have. They think that like when they have a baby, their life can just go back to normal. And I am curious to know for you, being a new mom of your beautiful daughter and being an entrepreneur and being an instructor still, so you're still teaching classes, you're still doing all of these things. What did your life like look like before? It's Gabriella, correct?
Gabrielle, yes.
Yeah.
No,
Gabrielle, sorry. So no, before Gabrielle was born to now, how has that shifted in terms of just your overall life?
You have.
Yeah.
it shifts a lot. I mean, you start to really let certain things go that are not important, that you just sort of have to prioritize, I guess, your time a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And definitely have been always one of those people who's like, I can do it by myself, whatever, you know? And I realized like, I need all the help. Like for instance, I'll give you an example. So I have two classes tonight. Yeah. It's now 10 to 4. I have to leave the house in an hour and 15 minutes to teach my two evening classes. And my husband's away for work traveling.
Awesome.
And so I was like, Mom, my mom still works full time. I was like, Mom, can you please be here and drive all the way in from Burlington to like be here so I can go? Like, it takes a freaking village. So
well, they say it does.
It takes a village. And so I think then you start to realize you have to be really organized too, like for certain things. Like if you're going to try to juggle certain things, you definitely you know? And yeah, no more time for like nail appointments and stuff. Like, it's just like, maybe the odd, like every couple months, but like not my regular, like every 3 weeks kind of thing, you know?
I'm not going to lie. When my daughter was born, one of the funniest things that we did in our house, and my husband is a stay-at-home dad, so I'm very fortunate that I have his support. But one of the funniest things I think about when she was first born was we called it like family shower day. So it was like literally like the day that we all decided like, we're like, okay, we're going to bathe the baby and we're both going to take a shower today. Like that's a huge accomplishment. Like, and it was a big deal in our household.
That's so cute. I love that. I might have to start that.
It was like the one, you know, solid day that we all felt good about ourselves. Now, when we talk about like how it shifted though, cause I know that like, I mean, you're in amazing shape. Like I've always admired just, you know, how strong you are and how physically fit you are. And how did that shift through your pregnancy, or did it change at all through your pregnancy? And then postpartum, what did that look like for you?
Oh, that's a big question. So I think one of the things that I really, really had to learn was to sort of let go of any expectations that I might have had for myself, mm-hmm. Especially someone who has been working in the pre and the postpartum fitness field for so long. And then I struggled with infertility. We had to do IVF. That took a long time. And then I had a heart condition, and then I had to get heart surgery. So like there were a lot of situations where my body failed me, if you will. And having to negotiate that for the past few years has been a huge learning lesson, because it's mm-hmm. made me realize that, you know, there are certain things in our lives that we can't control, no matter what we eat, no matter what we do. And I mean, I already eat and like live probably the healthiest, at least I know, in my life. And yeah. So it's like, if I'm doing all the things, how come it's still not working? And so I had to learn to be kind to myself and sort of surrender to some of the things that I can't control.
Right.
And realize that truly you will get back to a place where you feel strong and confident in your body, but you can't rush it. Mm-hmm. And I think what matters so much is how we talk to ourselves. So right. Do you have a choice, right? Like, do I berate my body saying, why do you have a weird electrical arrhythmia in your heart? Why are you not able to conceive naturally? Like, or do I say, you know what, this is the situation, but still send my body loving thoughts? And I think that that's a really key thing. How we talk to ourselves is crucial.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think so. I mean, the mind-body connection is so huge, and it's proven time and time again through science just how important it is. Like what you're saying to yourself, your body listens, and so it will react accordingly. So,
you know, epigenetics, yeah, that's mm-hmm. huge. We could have a whole conversation on that alone.
We definitely need to then. We need to like set up some stuff and talk about that. But so, if you don't mind sharing, like with your recovery, you also, as you touched on, you also had to have heart surgery.
Yeah.
What was that experience? Like, cause that's a really big deal. Like already dealing with, you know, recovery from childbirth is in its own right such a process, right? Mm-hmm. What did that, like, how did that kind of fit into, like, I mean, not fit into, like, because you can't fit it in, yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, how did you manage that, I guess, while still being a new mom and doing all of these things? I guess you just had to, but.
You have to, for sure. I was very anxious about it. In fact, I was more anxious about the heart surgery. I had it at 4 months postpartum. Mm-hmm. I'm now 6.5, almost 7 months post. So it's been almost 2 months. Yeah. I was more anxious for it's called an ablation for anyone listening. So it's actually considered a lower risk procedure. I mean, they still stick wires in your heart, which is still a bit dicey, but it's not like open heart surgery, to be clear. Yeah. And it's considered a fairly sort of benign routine thing. But I was always really freaked out to have it done. And the only thing I have to say that gave me the courage to do it, because I've had this condition since I was a teenager, mm-hmm. was having a daughter and thinking, like, I was in and out of the ER during pregnancy. And basically pregnancy is essentially a greater strain cardiovascularly on your body. And mm-hmm. so I would go in and out of arrhythmia a lot more often when I was pregnant. It used to happen maybe twice, three times a year, but it was happening like monthly in my pregnancy.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I better get this taken care of, you know, if we want to have more children, if, you know, I don't want this to happen if I'm ever alone with my daughter. Cause it's like, it's a bit of a disaster. You got call the ER, call 911, ambulances, like it's a big deal. So So I think becoming a mom gave me the courage to finally get this procedure finished.
Hmm. Yeah. Wow. No, that's very courageous of you, especially 4 months. postpartum, like to be in that position. I don't know. I feel like it would just be so, like, you're already so overwhelmed with so many things happening, like hormonally and physically and all of these things. Like, so kudos to you for, I guess, standing in your fear, you know what I mean? And kind of facing it head on.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. It was something that, you know, I know doctors would say, well, why didn't you get this done earlier? And I just wasn't ready. So that's a big lesson too. I mean, I feel great. I'm happy that I did it when I did it. Mm-hmm. Could I have gotten this done, you know, 10 years ago in my 20s? Probably. But again, I wasn't mentally ready. And I think you have to honor where you're at. And I was not ready until this past August.
Yeah. Now, in terms of postpartum, like, or being a new mom. So one of the questions I have that I hear a lot from people, and oftentimes I actually hear this from people that aren't moms, is that you need to find balance. You need to take the time to, like, you know, take the time for yourself. You need to, like, find time to do these things for yourself. And I can appreciate that. I do understand that, like, everyone needs a bit of downtime. Everyone needs kind of some, you know, that time to yourself to do these things. What are your thoughts around that, though, when you hear people say, you know, oh, well, Nikki, like, you need to find balance. Like, you're running your business, you're teaching your classes, you have your daughter, you have your relationship with your husband, all these things. Like, you need balance in your life. Like, what is your thoughts around that?
I once wrote a blog article called Balance is Bullshit. So that kind of summarizes it. So I'll just cut to the chase there. I think that, like, I feel guilty when I think talking about balance. I don't like the word because I feel like it's pretty impossible to achieve. I like to say instead, be present. So if I'm at work, I'm going to commit to being at work and doing something I love, mm-hmm. and, you know, making a difference where I can at work. And I'm going to be present in that moment and not be thinking about I should be with my daughter. And then when I'm with her, I'm putting my freaking phone away and I'm, like, playing with Legos, or not yet, she's too young, but playing with whatever she's, you know, stuffed animals. And I'm like, I'm interacting with her, you know, and I'm not going to be like, oh shit, I should be responding to that email. So I'm doing my best to be present in that. So if I'm with my family, it's family day, I leave my phone aside. So that's my version of balance. It might not look like balance, but that's my way of approaching the whole topic.
What's interesting, I have one of the girls that I work with, one of our students that I work with, you know, she talks about balance, and she said that the definition of balance, a lot of people think that it has to be, balance has to be, like, meaning like 50-50 or an even split amongst. Mm-hmm. But the way that she described it, from what I remember, is that balance, in her opinion, is more about just what works for you. The equation doesn't have to be equal. It just has to be, there has to be a portion of it in your life in order to live a balanced life. So you have to have that family time. You have to have that alone time. You have to have that work time, etc. But it doesn't have to be equal. It just has to be present in your life. Would you say that would be kind of?
Yeah, I think it's, like, also, like, what's working for you, right? Like, I mm-hmm. think that there are seasons, like, with, for instance, within the year, like, I have busy seasons or busy times of the year. Like, mm-hmm. talk to me. That's why I did the surgery in August. Talk to me in July and August. I'm pretty chill. But, like, you know, like, you probably know too, like, in the fitness world, people are out of their cottage, they're away, it's the summer, they don't want to be in the studio. Come September, it's, like, crazy again.
Yeah.
The holidays approach, things slow down again. So I know, okay, it's basically the end of October now. November's going to be crazy. And then halfway through December, things slow down again for me. Mm-hmm. You know, so I know I kind of have that cyclical aspect of it. So I can feel good knowing, yeah, it's going to be crazy for the next month, but things are going to slow down again and I'll get some more family time. And that's balance for me as well.
Yeah. No, that totally makes sense. Now, when it came to your own personal journey, like postpartum recovery, like physical, what did that look like for you? I mean, one of the biggest questions that we get, and I'm sure that you get this often too, just in being in this profession, is people always want to know, how can I get my pre-baby body back?
Yes.
And I say pre-baby body because everyone uses that statement. And I personally, I really like the idea. And I was talking to someone about this and they were like, there's no such thing because you're always postpartum. Like, your body will never be the same as it was. It's going to be different. It doesn't mean it can't be stronger, or more fit or less fit. Like it's really kind of like your own decision, I guess. But what do you say to people, I guess, what was your journey like? And then what do you say to people that say, sure, that come to you and ask for that pre-baby body tools?
To our question, how was my own journey? I was very fortunate in my pregnancy that things went well. I gained about 40 pounds. So that was like, you know, a lot to me, for me, right? Like my frame.
Yeah, you're a very small frame, of course. Yeah.
I'm like 5'6" and a half. Like I'm, you know, I'm not short, but I'm not tall. I'm kind of like, but that for me, 40 pounds was a lot. And so I remember at some point I was like, you know what? I'm gonna stop weighing myself. And I go to the OB. I had an OB because my heart condition, like the midwives were like afraid to deal with me. So I had an OB. Just for me. And she'd call it out. She'd be like, next, you know, and you're on the scale. Yeah. Like, 157. I'm like, oh my God, like 160. Like I was just like, it felt funny. I was be like, all right. You know, and I had to just have a sense of humor about it. Like, I'm like, right. You know what? Who freaking cares, right? Yeah. Of course you care, but you have to tell yourself, you're like, it's fine. And this is what I tell my students as well. You're a vessel of life. Like your job right now is not to stay, like, you know, gain as little weight as possible. Your job is to keep your body healthy, nourish yourself, nourish this growing life inside of you. Yeah. And, you know, and obviously stay strong so that you can not have back pain or pelvic pain or all these things. But your goal is not to have like chiseled arms in pregnancy. Like it's not going to happen. You're not going to get more toned during a pregnancy, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Mass changes, all this stuff. So I tell women that to manage their expectations because, you know, I think there is this fear. A lot of us are like, I don't want to get fat. You know, it's like, you're gonna
gosh. Yeah.
You need to gain some weight. Mm-hmm. And know that, like, believe that, you know, you're going to eat healthy. You're going to, you know, think in terms of nutrients, things are going to fuel your body, your energy, all that stuff.
And fuel the baby. Yeah, of course.
Totally. I had, you know, a very relatively easy pregnancy other than the hard stuff in and out of the ER. But in terms of like pain wise, I was fine. I didn't have back pain or anything. And I have to credit a lot of my, you know, core work for that, for sure. So I will say, that postpartum, I did have some crazy pelvic pain and never experienced before. And I remember it was like 2.5 weeks postpartum and it was cold still. Cause here in Toronto, like it's still April's cold. She was born April 6th. This is like probably end of April. And we're like, let's just go and walk to the coffee shop down the street. And I remember like every 3 to 4 steps having to stop. And I was walking, like I was thinking to myself in my head, I'm like, is this the new normal? Like, I feel like I'm 95 years old stopping. And I'm just like, but I was like, no, I can do this, you know?
Yeah.
And I saw my friend who's a physio and she was just like, just did some external manipulation stuff. And she's like, girl, like relax. Cause I remember being a little freaked out being like, was my back damaged forever? And she's just like, this is normal. Like you just had a baby come out of your pelvis. Like that's a big thing. Things are moving. Your bones are all over the place. And so thankfully it actually did go away within 2 weeks after that. The pain stopped. But I remember that initial fear being like, oh shit, like I'm supposed to be the one that knows all about this. How am I getting pelvic pain when I talk about how to prevent pelvic pain through Pilates exercises? Right. You still get pelvic pain. What the hell is that all about? So I think being patient, and having a good team, like I had, you know, this gentle physiotherapy stuff, knowing some gentle, like, kind of pelvic symmetry sequences, things to bring balance back to your pelvic girdle, all that stuff really helped for sure. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, for me, that was probably the big, I just remember that very vividly being like, oh my God, I'm having this pain that I didn't have in pregnancy, strangely enough, only post. Right. You know, and there's like, you know, I had a vaginal birth and I was very fortunate. It was an empowering experience and all that, but it was still like, you know, there's healing to be had. Like sitting down doesn't feel great for a little while, you know,
right.
A couple of weeks you're just like, oh God, things are a little different, you know, and then thank God your body does heal. And you know, you go back and now I feel like strong again. And I feel like truly back to my strong self, but it's a process, right? So I think it's normal for women to get freaked out when they feel like it's not happening right away, because you don't know how long it's going to take. But I just here to reassure people that, you know, you will feel normal again.
Yeah, it does happen eventually. I didn't have a vaginal birth. I had an emergency C-section during my pregnancy. And afterwards, I had some nerve damage that made my skin feel like it was on fire all the time. And it would only happen if I was standing. So I'd be like, I was like, I'm cool. We're like at a mall or something, like getting something. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, I think my skin's on fire. Like out of nowhere, it would just happen. And I'd have to like press on it and sit down. And I thought the same. I was like, am I going to feel like this? Like, is this nerve damage?
Forever. Yeah. You don't know.
It was like for 2 months consistently. And I was like, yeah. Oh my gosh, every time I move, anytime I do anything, it feels like my skin's catching on fire. And I couldn't explain it other than that. But then it just stuck. Now it's totally fine. And so, but I definitely think it takes time. Your body heals itself. It's smart. Yeah. Your body is.
And it takes time and like also a good team, right? Like seeing mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in pelvic physiotherapy, mm-hmm. you know, and just making sure you can do things. You know, the first time I left my daughter was to go see that pelvic physiotherapist. Cause I was like, you know, I was like, this is important, you know, like if you're not feeling good as a mom and you're in pain, you're not going to be, you know, in a good place physically, mentally, emotionally to be there for your family mm-hmm. and this little being that's like a barnacle attached to you, right? Like you need to be in a good place. And so, yeah. So I'm thinking that that's important in terms of the self-care piece, right? Like mm-hmm. physically making sure you feel okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you say to your clients? Because this one is always the big one is how do I get my abs back? People always want to know that, right? Because like right now we're talking about like almost like the internal healing that has to happen for like external to happen too. But from the superficial sort of standpoint, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's a big thing. And a lot of people, like I find that there's a lot of people that are a lot of women postpartum that immediately are just like on the ground trying to do some crunches and stuff, like trying to get back at it right away. What is being your background and, you know, what would you say to people that are worried about like their core specifically? Cause that's such a huge question mark.
It's a huge question. And, you know, the new research out there says that 100% of women will develop diastasis recti during their pregnancy, which basically means the thinning of the connective tissue in your lady alba, so the middle of your six-pack muscle. It has to spread to make room for that growing baby. But the question is, we don't want it to thin out too much or stretch out too much, because then getting your abs back after it's difficult. So sometimes you're left aesthetically with loose, saggy skin in the middle of, again, your tummy, mummy tummy, right? Usually around the belly button area.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's a case where you need to treat that like physiotherapy. And so I definitely advise women to stop doing crunches, not mm-hmm. do planks. Like planks and crunches actually make it worse. That's a big thing of what I talk about. Mm-hmm. You need to think about working everything from the inside out. Mm-hmm. So my big phrase I usually say is the ABC approach. You need to focus on your alignment, find your breath before going into trying to get choreography. So the choreography isn't going to do you any good. It's not going to give you results until you have understand your alignment first and then your breathing. And so that is, you have to move from a place of understanding those deep core activations, which come through your breath and good posture before you're going to get results. That's kind of like my number one thing. Mm-hmm. And it can be, I'll be honest, it can be really freaking frustrating because people are like, but I want to feel the burn. I've got kids napping. I've got 20 minutes. Like hit me. Like, burpees. I'm going to do the insanity workout. I'm going to sweat on. And a lot of women don't realize that they could be making their situation worse if they have pelvic floor issues, abdominal separation, all that stuff. And so that's why I work and my team works so closely with pelvic physiotherapists, because, you know, I say, listen, let's go get you checked out. Because when I talk to a student and I say, okay, I want you to gently lift your pelvic floor and find your TA, they look at me like I've got five heads. I need to make sure that they understand what that means. And so I can cue them with a lot of different cues of ways to, but I need, sometimes they need an internal vaginal exam. And sometimes they need that also, even if they had a C-section, it's still relevant if you,
of course.
Yeah. Regardless of how you've given birth. And so mm-hmm. that's something that, you know, and sometimes they realize, oh my gosh, I've been doing Kegels incorrectly. Or I shouldn't be doing Kegels because I'm tight down there, believe it or not. That's a big thing too. So there's so much to know about your body. Mm-hmm. And even if you go one time, because I know a lot of people are like, you know, I don't have benefits, it's expensive, you know, or whatever. You know, honestly, just even one visit will give you so much information about your body.
Yeah, no, definitely. Now, you say that for the ab moves, you're saying crunches and planks are like off limits. Are there any other exercises that you say are completely off limits, and any specific ones that you say that are sort of on your to-do list? Like, I mean, I know that there's a couple for sure, but I'd love to hear your opinion on it.
Yeah. You know what? To be honest, I'm not a huge fan of like lists where it's like, do this, don't do this. I understand it makes things easier. Mm-hmm. But everything truly is an individual basis. So, you know, I didn't have any lingering diastasis, so I was able to go back and plank at like 3-4 months postpartum. Someone who has a diastasis, I would not recommend that to that person.
Right.
You know, and same thing with forward flexion. So obviously I'm not a fan in general of like old school crunches from the floor, but you can do some, you know, forward flexion with ball behind your back and a little bit of like a fulcrum point that could be appropriate for you. Mm-hmm. You know, or not, depending on your deep core. But as a rule, because I understand in group classes, like I teach, you're not going to be able to kind of get everyone their own individualized program. So in our group classes, in our postpartum group classes, and I would say most of the women there are about as early as 4 weeks post they start coming, until usually around 10 months post is sort of the amount of the range.
Right.
We don't do planks in that class. We do a lot of more squats, standing work, a lot of booty band work because that butt gets weak, you know, from mom posture when you're sort of using your hips like a hanger. You know what I mean? And you're just like baby on the hip, your butt tucks under. And essentially next time you do it, try it. Stand like that and feel your butt. It's just hanging out. You're not actually engaging that muscle.
Oh, and yeah. So, I know, do the back bend now because my daughter.
Oh, yeah. And then your spine.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So I would say, you know, if we're talking in terms of broad strokes in my group class that we teach, in the bump method, we avoid planks postpartum. Mm-hmm. We definitely don't do like crunches off the floor. We're focusing more on the deep abdominals, not the superficial layer of abdominals. So
yeah,
the deep abs are the ones that you connect through your pelvic floor. They're the ones that are called your transverse abdominis. I'm sure you know about this, and it flattens your toes. Exactly. It's crunches, which will give you a satisfying burn for sure, but they're old school crunches are actually going to like potentially make your abdominal wall want to separate more, put pressure down on your pelvic floor. If you're dealing with any sort of incontinence or prolapse, that's not a great thing. So
yeah,
we focus more on the deeper muscles, and those are the types of movements that are a little bit more subtle and require a lot of concentration to do correctly. So they can be frustrating because you have to be mindful, you know, but they do great results.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any examples? I know on your social media, you post some videos of yourself. Do you have any specific examples of some of these, the ways that people can connect it, either on your website or should they follow you?
Yeah, so if you go on the Bell Method Instagram account, and you can even search hashtag the bump method, and you'll see all the videos, and there's quite a few. And you know, most people are visual learners, so that'd probably be something I'd recommend that they do. If anyone's listening and or watching and they really want to have more guidance, we have both prenatal and postnatal online streamable video workouts. And so there is a workout for each trimester of pregnancy. So first, second, and third trimester, and a fourth postpartum trimester workout. Because really what you should be doing in pregnancy will change depending on what stage of pregnancy you're at. Mm-hmm. So there are certain things that we can do in the first trimester, like lying on your stomach, that we can't do in the second and third, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain things that we do in the second trimester, still doing front-loaded work, like maybe push-ups from your knees. We don't do those in the third trimester. So things evolve. And so anyone who wants to understand that evolution, I would recommend getting that program, sure.
Perfect. And we will share, guys, for you listening, we'll share all that information and the links to it on our fitchicksacademy.com page. So make sure you check it out there, and then you can link through. Okay. So wrapping it up, because I know you got to get going. one last piece of advice for anyone who is listening today two pieces of advice. One piece of advice for anyone who is either, you know, pregnant, current, or postnatal, or for someone who is just starting out on their fitness journey. It might be the same piece of advice, but, or maybe someone like who's just starting out on their fitness journey, who is just kind of like, maybe not pre or postnatal, but they are just at that stage where they just really want to, you know, kind of jump into a healthier lifestyle. What would your biggest piece of advice be?
Oh God. I think especially one of the things that we have to remind ourselves of is that, and this is a quote that I love, that comparison is the thief of joy. Mm. So don't compare yourself to other people. You don't really have any idea what their journey has been, you know, and it's easy, especially nowadays, to look at, you know, well, that person's pregnant and looks like that, or that person's looks like that and they're only 4 months post, or,
But
I think that that's dangerous because it can get us in a bad headspace. And I think your headspace is the most important thing through all of this, you know? And so, you know, I'll share with you a quick tidbit, and this isn't to do with the physicality of it, but I remember teaching pregnancy classes, the prenatal classes, and it was while I was going through, I just had a miscarriage, was going through IVF stuff. And I remember like starting to dread Mondays because I've always taught my prenatal class on Mondays. That's actually where I'm heading next. And I remember being like, why am I so like grumpy? And I realized that I was jealous of all of these women that were pregnant that I was teaching, and I'm going through what I'm going through.
Right.
And it started to really wear at me, and I was jealous and I was comparing and must be so nice for them, blah, blah, blah. And one day I thought, you know what? Like, this is brutal. Like, I'm sure they can start picking up my bad vibes. It's shitty. Yeah. I need to change this. So I was really nervous, but I said at the end of that class, I said, listen, guys, I just wanted to share with you that I'm going through this. And it was incredible. Like, I get shivers when I still talk about it now, because so many women came forward and said, you know what, like, I struggled, or my sister struggled, or I've had 3 miscarriage, when one woman came forward and said. And I realized that, like, who was I to assume that their journeys had all been easy and I was the only one struggling? And so I think that we need to stop comparing and also share our struggles, because we all have them. Even we might look a certain way on social media, but we all have our own stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think when we open up and share with each other, then it becomes like the world just splits open and amazing things can happen. So I think that's probably my number one piece of advice.
No, I love that. And I couldn't agree with you more, because I think, you know, from you sharing, whether it's your struggles or whether it's, you know, your successes or whatever it is, you show people possibility, right? And you show them, like, especially if they're in this place where they're feeling like maybe what you did, which is like, well, I'm struggling so much, I feel so alone in this. Knowing that other people that you were looking at thinking it was so easy, knowing that they also maybe struggled too, just kind of put things into a perspective where you can know that it is possible. There is possibility, and it's not, you know, you're not stuck in this scenario.
For sure. No, that really, I think women have a very unique ability to support each other, mm-hmm. and we can't really support each other unless we talk about what we're going through. And so I think that's a really, and thank you to you for creating the platform to do that. I mean, I think what you're doing is fantastic, and I'm honored.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Well, so Nikki, just to wrap up, where can people find out information? Remind them one more time how they can get in touch with you and find out more information about your programs and food.
Yeah, they can go to thebellmethod.com. It's BELLE.com. And they can also do search on Instagram at the Bell Method, as well as at the Bump, as in baby bump method.
Yeah. That's the Bump Method. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening today. And of course, if you want to learn more about Nikki's programs, you can also check them out at fitchicksacademy.com. And Nikki, thank you so much for your time. I know you've got a crazy schedule with a baby and classes and business. And I really, really appreciate and honor your time. So thank you. Thank you for sharing with us.
No, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye, everyone. Bye, Nikki.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.